I would first like to just start off by saying, you know, thank God, man. Just truly blessed to come out of this situation. Truly blessed to have such a wonderful supporting cast, man. Just support system just took care of me. Starting off with my parents and my friends and family, everybody from my coaching staff, whole Chiefs Kingdom, Vol Nation, my home back in Atlanta, Fairburn, Georgia. I mean, it's just been great, man. I mean, the experience has been, it's been a roller coaster, but I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, I'm just so thankful that the training staff, when the whole situation happened, they didn't just sweep it under the rug, you know, because they easily could have did that, you know, because at first we didn't find anything in the x-rays, and the MRI kind of showed some things. And I mean, it could have been so easy for them to just say, man, you're okay, get back out there. But they did the proper protocol, proper procedure. And I'm just very thankful for that, because without that, I don't know where we would be right now. So, I mean, it's just so many people that I want to thank, and just, I'm just excited to be here, to be able to stand in front of you or sit in front of you. And, you know, it was exciting to be out there at practice today. And, I mean, I'm just at a loss for words right now. So, I mean, if you guys have any questions or anything, I'm open for whatever y'all want to ask.
It seems like you've been optimistic throughout this whole time, starting from the statement that you issued when you were first diagnosed. But in your heart, did you really think it was realistic that you'd be back on the first day of training camp playing football?
My whole thing was, it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, at that point, I'm going to control what I can control. And the two things that I could control was my attitude and my effort. You know, so I just tried to go out, you know, wake up every day and just try to build off of whatever I did the day before. And in that situation, anybody going through something like that, that's the only thing you can do is take it day by day. You can't look too far ahead, because I did that in the beginning and ended up crying to my dad for about 30 minutes at breakfast, because it was a long road. So I just wanted to take it step by step, day by day, and just see where it took me.
From the outside, you kind of look like this was an easy process. 8 months and boom, you're back. What was it really like?
It was tough, man. It was a battle every day. I mean, it was to the point where I had to set goals to where I would just get out of bed. You know, today I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to make sure I get out of bed. I'm not going to stay in the bed all day, because I would literally stay in the bed all day. And, I mean, it was a tough process. But like I said, I had a great support system, man. Just between my mom and dad being in the trenches with me every day, day in, day out, and just making sure I had everything that I needed, from an emotional standpoint, physical standpoint, everything. And I mean, that meant so much to me. And that, I think I would still be in the same state if I didn't have them, you know, because without them, I don't know how I would have pushed through it.
You, in training to be an athlete, you have many times when you've exhausted yourself, where you laid there in a weight room or on a field. But was that anything compared to the exhaustion that chemo caused you?
Not at all. Because to be honest with you, I was training while I was going through chemo. It would be times I would work out, and I would end up just crying after the workout, just because I couldn't believe that I made it through the workout, but I couldn't believe that it was that hard. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to push myself to the limit. I couldn't push myself how I wanted to, and it was just, I had to break it down to really embracing the process and understand that everything wasn't going to come back overnight. And when you add chemo into something like this, that's a whole different monster. You know, because it literally feels like you're dying. You know, you can't go around people. You get sick easily. You have no energy. Certain foods you can't eat. It just zaps you for a good amount of time. And really, when you look at it, you're not really battling chemo. You're battling yourself the whole time. It's really a battle versus me. And once I got my mind in a situation, in a mind state, to where I could just go out there and just do what I could do and control what I could control. So,
was it more physically or mentally taxing on you?
It was both, but like I said, it started with me. From a mental standpoint, it breaks you down, you know, because you can ask my parents, that's when you're at your weakest. You know, you're vulnerable to everything. And the thing about it is, you have to, just because you're alone doesn't mean that you're actually alone. You just have to be able to sit by yourself and, you know, trying to think through everything and just make sure everything is going to be on the up and up. You know, you just have to have a positive mindset.
How did this journey change you?
I'm a lot more wise. I analyze things before I just go into them. And it's just, I could go, the list is so long. You know what I'm saying? But overall, it's just that I'm more wise and I understand embracing the process. You know, everything's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Everything is preparation. Don't overlook anything. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, Coach always talks about eliminating distractions. And I would like to thank you guys for respecting me not wanting to do interviews and, you know, doing things like that. But I wanted to eliminate the distractions because I wanted to focus on what I needed to focus on. And fear nothing, attack everything. So that's kind of how I kind of did the thing. So
Eric, when you're taking on kind of a big thing like this, like a big challenge, is this one of those things where you kind of really see after a while, like, who's really with you, like, you know, who's there with you, like, who's, who you can talk to, all that? Does it reveal a lot?
Yeah, it reveals a lot, but at the same time, it reveals that, but you can't put too much into it because a lot of people don't know how to handle that situation on the outside looking in. You know, a lot of people don't know if they're texting you too much or calling you too much. They don't know how to approach you in that situation. So if they don't hit you up, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Because the only person that has to go through that situation is you when you're in that situation. So as long as you understand that, everything's going to be cool. But I can definitely say that I had some great people step up to the plate. My parents, like I said, my friends, Savion and Jason, throughout my whole comeback trying to work out through all this, they were right there along with me, you know, through the whole process and pushing me to get back on the field. Justin Houston, you know, came down and visited me a number of times after he would play a game just to sit with me before chemo. And Sean Smith, same thing. Ted Cruz texting me, teammates, Alex, everybody. Coach Reed, Dorsey, Ted coming down to visit me. Hunt coming down to visit me. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, even to the point where Coach Pagano, he would text me and tell me, look, they're going to do a bone marrow biopsy. This is what you need to be prepared for. This, and this. And he had me prepared for a lot of the things that I wasn't aware of. So I think I was just very blessed to have people to reach out and help me along this whole situation.
It sounds like your football training helped you fight the biggest fight of your life. It sounds like the things you use in football is what really helped you succeed. And if that's so, could you talk about that, plus how it felt to get the news that you were cancer-free?
Man, it was great. And I think the whole thing as far as, like, life and playing football, like, it's all about carryover. Even in football, you carry over the things you learn in individual to 7-on-7, to 1-on-1s, onto team, onto the field on Sunday. It's the same way with football and life. Whatever you learn in football, I mean, it carries right on over to life. So the same things you do, and it's vice versa. So the things you learn in life, you can carry them over onto the football field. So I just tried to use all those experiences, everything that I went through in the past, on and off the field, all of my experiences, I just tried to use it to get through this. And to be honest with you, it felt good to get back on the field, but in my mind, I still feel like I have work to do. You know, that's just a checkpoint, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to just keep pushing through until we get to where we want to be as a team.
Eric, what did it mean to you to see, you know, Bruce Arians in a very strong shirt and Justin lifting up his jersey and pointing to the number 29? I mean, you saw so many people wearing the very strong T-shirts. What did that mean to you when you're going through this?
The thing I liked about it was good to see different people on different teams, not just in the NFL, but, you know, there's so much stuff that goes on in the NFL that people like to talk about that's kind of negative on the other side. I felt like that was something that was really cool because I felt like the whole NFL family came together, and it did a lot for me, you know, and it just to see them come together for a good cause and just to motivate me and show that, you know, that they were thinking about me before big games and things like that. I mean, it meant a lot. It was a small gesture probably to some other people, but to me, that meant a lot. It meant a lot just to sit, because I was sitting on the couch watching all the games. When we weren't playing, I was watching the other teams just to see. And, I mean, it something so small like that can boost your morale when you're in a situation like that.
Mr. and Mrs. Berry, how optimistic were you at the beginning of this whole procedure?
Well, from the start, we were very optimistic about it. Once we found out exactly what it was, you know, not knowing was the biggest part of it. You know, when we got the call and they said, well, you know, Eric has mass in his chest that we discovered or whatever. It was kind of disheartening because you didn't know exactly what it was, what kind of cancer it was. But once we got with the doctors at Emory and they told us that it was lymphoma and it was treatable, you know, we just banded together and we just decided that we were going to attack this thing head on and that everything that we did was for Eric. It was no longer about us or anybody else. It was strictly about him. And as we banded together, we just got positive influence from so many people, friends, family, like he said. And, you know, we just took it head on and we said we were going to beat it.
Mom?
As long as I knew what we were dealing with, I was able to work with it. Because once I got the diagnosis, how we were going to treat it, James and I went to work.
Eric, when the PET scan came back in June saying that you were cancer-free, what was your reaction?
Man, I was just at a loss for words. I was so excited. And I think the biggest thing, I was just happy that I was able to make that journey with everybody that was close to me. I think that was the best part about it, because when you're when you laying there, like, it was many times where I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I just be up, just up thinking, scared to go to sleep. And then it'll be a point where I was like, forget it. I'm going to sleep. If I don't wake up, I don't wake up. So the thing about it, though, is just going through it with the people that's close to you. You don't think about material things. You don't think about things like that. You think about the experience you have with people close to you. So at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And making it through that journey, even though it was difficult, I got some of my best memories out of that whole process. So, I mean, I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And I was just so thankful to go through it with the people around me.
How did you feel physically today, you know, doing a few of the drills, doing the football things, not just conditioning, but being on the field in uniform? Did it show you, you know, how far you've come and yet how far you need to go?
Definitely. It showed me how far I came because, like, one of my goals used to be to do 5 push-ups today. You know what I'm saying? So coming from 5 push-ups to being out on the field with my teammates, that's a long way. And we still got a long way to go, too. So, I mean, there's some things that I still need to clean up, still need to freshen up on, and we're just going to keep working, man. We got our goal in mind. We got that vision. I'm going to treat it the same way I did with cancer. Carry over.
For mom, no mother wants to see her baby deal with something like this. How did he handle it?
He handled it well. I had a couple of rough moments, and unfortunately, because of being a mother of an NFL player, people don't realize what you go through, the downsides, the things that happen. And I had a great support group with not only my friends, I had the NFL moms. So I was able to call the chaplain, we would pray together, and she would help me deal with getting myself together. Because no matter what his reaction or what his diagnosis was going to be, I had to be prepared.
So. Eric, with what you've gone through, I'm sure there are probably some things in practice, working out, training, maybe you didn't enjoy doing, you knew you had to do. How's your outlook changed a little bit now with what you've been through of, you know, you take a little more joy in some of those small things now?
Yeah, I mean, just any situation, even in the, my thing is I'm not really big on meetings. So anything on the field, I love being out on the field. I love walkthroughs, but meetings, that's something that I'm not a fan of. So, but now I learned to just embrace the process. I mean, it's not bad. Just focus in, lock in for however long we're going to be in there. And just, you know, my thing, I just take a lot of notes while I'm doing it too. So it's all a blessing, whether it's meetings, whether it's running gases, whether it's lifting, it's an opportunity, man. So the best thing to do is just be thankful for it and just move along with it.
Eric, you kind of mentioned this earlier. You said the way to attack it, you figured out how to do it, right, each day, because that's a big thing, trying to beat this.
Right.
But was it during your conversation with Dad where you realized, where you guys kind of came together and realized, like, hey, one day at a time, attack it that way? Was it something he said that helped you come to that, or just how did you come to it?
It was a lot of, like I said, I took from everything, everybody. And the one thing that did stick out to me that he told me was just, you can't be everybody wants you to be strong in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants you to be a certain way. And the thing he told me was, you can't be strong every day. You know what I'm saying? If you want to be mad today, be mad. If you want to be sad today, be sad. But man, don't stay there. Don't stay. We already told him.
Okay.
But the thing was, don't stay that way. You know, once you get it out your system, go on about your business and get back to work. And that was his whole deal the whole time, man. One thing to talk about, how she was staying positive. She ain't mentioned it, but she had printed out like 4 or 5 different notes and put them in frames. And basically it was saying, if you come in the house, don't come in here with any negative energy. Don't come in here pouting, upset or anything. We want everything positive. So if you came into the house, you couldn't come like, oh, are you okay? Is everything, oh, how are you doing? Nah, you had to come in like how you usually come in. So I think the energy in our house was a positive feel too.
Couple more guys.
Can you explain why you decided not to go the traditional route with the PICC line instead of you did the IV route instead?
I did the IV, and the reason was because if I got they called it a port PICC line, it was because I wouldn't be able to work out. So if I got that, I wouldn't be able to lift like the chair you sitting in. I wouldn't be able to do that. But I had already had my mind set to where I wanted to work out, so I just went ahead and got the IV, which was probably more dangerous than actually having the port. I'm glad I made the decision, but it was rough. Like, just having like the feelings in my fingers and my veins are totally just all out of whack right now. But some of the medicine is very harsh, so it did a little damage to my tissue, but it's fine now. So so I had some great nurses too, so them actually being able to get the IV set, which was one of the hardest things for a lot of the people, but I had some great nurses. Nurse Stephanie, who is the real MVP of everything, she handled it with so much precision and just so much care, and she treated all her patients like that, so I felt like I was in very good care.
Eric, were you ever afraid that you might not ever run through that tunnel again and the smoke and everything at Arrowhead, and how much are you looking forward to doing that again?
Man, to be honest with you, I wasn't afraid of that. I was just taking it day by day. And I think the thing that clicked was when Stuart Scott passed, and he made this comment, it's about how you beat cancer, it's about how you live. And that really stuck with me, so I just kind of embraced that quote and just moved forward like that. And then just seeing Robin Roberts, man, her master class, it was crazy, because here it is, I'm doing my chemotherapy was once every 2 weeks. So I get chemo done on a Wednesday, skip a week, and get it done the next Wednesday. Whereas with Robin Roberts, she had to do it 10 days consecutively. And anybody that's been through chemo knows what it does to your body, knows how it drains you, knows how it affects you. She did it 10 straight days, you know what I'm saying? And just to see her to be able to sit up and do what she's doing after that, it was like, man, I can't complain about nothing. I'm getting it once every 2 weeks. So I just kind of just challenged myself and just tried to move forward that way.
You ever have to come back like a pound heavier after chemo? That makes absolutely sense.
Eating good, man. Pops was cooking, man. Like, that was one of the big things I think that helped me. Any request I had, because one of the side effects is just your taste buds go. You don't have a taste for anything. And then some of the foods just don't sit well with you. So my dad did a great job of just, you know, what you feel like eating today. And, you know, he'd go to the store, whip it up. And I would, three meals a day. And I think that's how I kept on the weight. The only reason I lost weight was from a bad decision I made throughout the process. So that was the only reason.
When you got the news on the 22nd of June that you're out of here, do what you do. You went to Florida, started working out.
Yeah.
How fast did you see progress? Immediately?
It was immediate, because the thing with the chemo, every time I made gains, it felt like every time I got the treatment, it was like I got set back again. So like my win, my strength, it felt like everything was starting back as ground zero. And when I got off of it, it was just like, all right, now we're making gains. So everything I did was just positive gains. So the effect the chemo had on my lungs, on my heart during the process, it was real harsh. But now everything's back to where it's supposed to be, so it's like, it is what it is already.
Do you see yourself, you brought up a lot of, you know, other people who had cancer, you know, fought it. Do you see yourself going into the community and raising awareness and doing things like that now that, you know, once the season's over and everything?
Yeah, probably so. You know, just because that's a part of me now, you know, and then I have two cancer survivors in my family as well, my aunties, so, I mean, they're some warriors, you know, they're some fighters, so I feel like I had to do it, regardless of this football thing or whatever. I feel like I had to just come back the best way I could, and, you know, anybody that's going through it, it's definitely a tough fight. It's a fight, it's a battle every day, and sometimes you feel like you just can't do it no more, but you just got to keep fighting because it's always going to be light at the end of the tunnel. Just because it's a cloudy day don't mean the sun's not shining. The sun is shining behind the clouds regardless, you know, so you just got to keep on pushing and just hope for that overcast to get out of the way for you.
Well, Mom and Dad, I mean, we know how Eric felt getting back on the field, but for you guys, you know, after that diagnosis, your son's like the picture of health before it, right? He's a pro football player. You never expect something like this coming. So what was it like for you to see him kind of go through that and then be on the field today? Like, what was it like for you guys to watch him out there?
You want to take that?
Today was... When I attacked this whole thing as a normal situation, so I didn't expect anything less. So sitting out there today, it was a nice day. I fell asleep. That's kind of how it went. Yeah, so it was a good day. I didn't expect anything different from it.
Well, I know in the beginning it was hard. It really was. It was really hard to think that you would see something taken from your son that he really loved so much. That, you know, those possibilities always go through your mind, that what if he can't play again? You know, you think about those type of things. But then, you know, you kick those things to the side, and then you look at him, and when you looked at Eric, you was like, you know, this guy's a fighter. Mm-hmm. He's not a quitter. He's a fighter. And he wanted it. He wanted to get back out there. His whole demeanor changed into, I got a goal set for myself, and I'll be back. And so we rallied behind that, and we pushed it. We did everything that we could as a family to get him where he wanted to be. And so once, you know, seeing him out there today, well, just seeing him, we went to visit him in Florida, just seeing his workouts down there, it was remarkable because we hadn't been anywhere to watch him, but we went to Florida to see how he was progressing. And it was remarkable just to see him move and do the things that he normally do. And then seeing him out there today, it was touching. It was touching.
A couple more.
Eric, did you know you had that in you to fight the biggest fight like that? You've always been tough. You compare it to football. You've always been a great player, a great person. But sometimes you don't know what's in you till you face the lion. And did you know what was in there to do this?
I knew it was in there. My friend Inky, you know Inky, he always tell me, bring it out of you. There's always somebody in there that's willing to go harder than you are. So I just kind of went through that with that in mind. And I guess we brought him out. So like I said, we're not done yet. We still got a lot of work to do. And we're just going to keep pushing forward. And it was definitely a tough battle, but sometimes you got to go through it.
The doctors tell you, once you're cancer-free, right, you can live a normal life, what did they tell you about how much progress still was to be made before you could play football? You know what I mean? The difference between living a normal life and being a football player.
You mean after they told me everything was good?
Yeah, after you knew.
They called Rick, and they were just like, hey, he's all yours. Whatever you, whatever y'all want to do, he's clear to do whatever y'all want to do. So.
That's a big progress. You keep saying this is just a mile marker, right? Like you still have some more progress to go.
How oh, yeah, yeah.
You have between, you know, where you were and where you are now.
You mean like physically? Like
yeah, exactly.
Just knocking the rust off. That's it.
All right. Was the last one, Bob. Raiders game the first time you've had a feeling that this is not good?
And that was the first time I just felt like not even playing football in my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Like, Every time I step out on the field or get ready to play a game, I want to play. That was the first time I was like, man, something's not right. And thank God what happened. I actually ran into Hussein on a play, and it kind of just snowballed. I was so thankful that Rick and the training staff did not sweep that under the rug, you know, just, and think that I was just saying, hey, I'm a little nicked up. They actually did the extra things that they needed to do to make sure everything was straight. And I mean, we found out what was going on and got that thing handled.
But that day, or that night, I should say, was the first time that you felt something was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to my dad and I was like, man, I'm a little winded from the previous games. I was like, man, maybe I need to do some more things to get back in shape. And he was like, well, okay, well, do what you need to do. So I was doing extra cardio and things like that. But in reality, I was in shape. If I wasn't going to be in shape, I wouldn't have been in shape by that point. You know what I'm saying? Because I did so much. But it was actually my body was fighting something else. That's the only reason why I was so tired. And like I said, man, I'm just thankful that they did what they were supposed to do.
Well,